Thanks for tuning into the show today. And my guest is Pulitzer Prize winning author Geraldine Brooks. And we're going to be talking about her new book, The Secret Chord. Geraldine, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, honey. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you. And so, first of all, before I ask you some specific questions, do you want to tell us what The Secret Chord is all about?
It's about King David, and you know, as we know him from the Bible, he's the harpist, the musician, the warrior who defeats Goliath. But it turns out that there's a lot more to him than I had realized until I went back and read his story more carefully, and discovered that he's the first man in history that we know from early childhood to extreme old age. So really our first historical biography.
And what made you decide after, well, to do this research and then do a fictional account of his life?
It all started when my older son was 9 years old, and he made the unusual decision for a little boy that he wanted to play the harp, which seemed an unusual instrument to choose. I was braced for drums, and I was kind of relieved. But it was while I was taking him to his music lessons and seeing him sort of dwarfed by his teacher's gorgeous concert instrument that I started thinking about that other boy harpist. And I just had this very clear vision of him on a sun-splashed hillside herding sheep, and I realized that I wanted to know more about him.
And so how long did you go through, how long did it take you to do the research until you got enough that you felt comfortable to do the book?
Well, what I usually do is I let the story tell me what I need to know. So I find a voice to tell the story, and then I start writing it. And then when I find out what I need to know, then I go and do the research. So I kind of do the two things hand in hand. And the key point with this book was realizing that the storyteller was going to be the prophet Nathan, who is the man in the scriptures who turns up to tell the king when he's failed, when he's betrayed his own best instincts, and he's a sinner. And so he's the truth teller, the guy who castigates the king. And what intrigued me is a reference in the Book of Chronicles to the lost book of Nathan. It says in Chronicles that the book of Nathan tells David's story from first to last, and yet we don't have this book anymore. And I was thinking, well, what would be in that? How would that account be different? And so my novel, The Secret Chord, is an attempt to imagine what a man as brave and fearless in the face of power as Nathan might have had to say about King David.
And that's just a really interesting perspective, I think, to write that book from, that kind of book, because even today you have so many people who say, oh, I don't want to tell the president anything bad, or I don't want to tell this person anything bad.
But, well, exactly. I mean, I think we could do with a few more Hebrew prophets, these fearless truth tellers who give us the word that we don't want to hear. I think it's a very important lesson that in the family and in business, you have to have somebody who's willing to stand up to you.
And that's
what I admire about David is he didn't have Nathan put to death. He brought him even closer into his council, so that Nathan is the one who's there at the end of David's life organizing which of his kids is the fittest one to wear the crown.
And there's just his story is just so fascinating. And like you said, it's like our first historical figure that goes from youth to an elderly person. And so in all of those things in David's life, what are the most interesting things that you think are...
No, to me, it's not so much the battles and the unification of the Hebrew tribes that fascinates me, although that's what he's remembered for. It's the personal life. It's his life with his wives, who were extraordinary women. all of them sketched very briefly in the scriptures, but just enough so that you get this fascinating view of these different personalities. And the fact that he was attracted to strong women, it was interesting to widen the perspective and to try and reimagine their lives more fully, and to look at things from a woman's point of view, because these stories are so often told by men, and I think they get everything wrong.
Well, I think it's really interesting that there are so many strong women back then, because we just don't think of too many strong women back in biblical times.
Yeah, I think what helped me and emboldened me to imagine their lives was having spent almost a decade in the Middle East as a news correspondent, and mostly interested in the lives of the women in that region. And so it was seeing how women in societies where they don't apparently have any power, and yet meeting women who exercise power privately in very subtle ways to influence the course of history, really. And I saw that with the Ayatollah Khomeini's wife, for one, and Queen Noor in Jordan for another.
Well, that's let's talk about your time in the Middle East a little bit. Did that have any, besides like writing about the women and realizing that they're stronger than maybe they have been depicted in the past, did your time in the Middle East have any other effects on your writing of The Secret Chord?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, if I hadn't had this terrible experience of covering so many conflicts in that region, I wouldn't have been able to fully imagine, you know, the battle scenes. And even though the weapons are very different 3,000 years ago, the effects of weapons on the human body is tragically the same. And I'll never forget the first battlefield I saw, which was the Fao Peninsula, which divides Iran from Iraq. And I was there in the aftermath of a terrible battle where the desert was absolutely strewn with the bodies of young Iranian teenagers. And you know, having seen that, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. So I used some of, you know, the emotions of that experience in the descriptions of battle in The Secret Chord.
That's just incredible to have seen that. I can't even imagine.
I think it's very important, you know, to bear witness, and I really admire the colleagues who are still trying to do that in the difficult circumstances of the current wars that are going on there. But, you know, it reminds you that human beings don't fundamentally change that much as we might like to think we do. You can change the furniture, but when we decide to be brutal to each other, we're just as good at it now as we were 3,000 years ago.
That's very deep, Geraldine. David, I know for me, as soon as I saw what your book was about, I couldn't say fast enough that I wanted to talk to you. And because David is just such a powerful figure, and why do you think it is that he's still so powerful today to people and still means so much to so many people?
I think it's his complexity. You can't put him in a box. He's not one thing or the other. He's not a saint. He's not a devil. You know, he encompasses the whole gamut of human possibilities. He's an artist and he's a warrior. He's a lover and he's a killer. And any attempt to reduce that complexity only weakens the story. I mean, the scriptures have portrayed him as an incredibly complicated man. And I think that's why we're drawn to him. When you look at how variously he's been depicted in the history of art, it's amazing. We all know some of the famous sculptures and paintings, but if you go looking, the variety of depictions of him as a beautiful young boy, as a failing old man, and everything in between, the vigorous warrior, the sensitive musician, it's all there in his story.
And you can read all about it in your, well, you already know it, but our listeners can read all about it in The Secret Chord. And Geraldine, where can they get a copy of the book?
Well, it's available in your local bookstores, and I hope you support your local bookstores so we can keep them around. But also, if you can't get to a local bookstore, it's available on Amazon. And if you want to know about my travels, which I'm excited to say will include Buffalo next spring, I'm coming to Larkin Square and very much looking forward to being back there. It's all on my website, geraldinebrooks.com.
And I believe you're in Cleveland in a couple of days, aren't you?
I am. You know, I lived in Cleveland for my first year as a reporter with the Wall Street Journal, so it's a homecoming. I'll be there for two nights, once talking about the book and once introducing a most remarkable piece of music based on an earlier book of mine called People of the Book. And a young composer has written the most extraordinary piece of music that follows the musical journey of the Sarajevo Haggadah.
Wow, that's really interesting. So if you're in Cleveland early next week, you can see Geraldine there, or you can see her when she comes to Buffalo. So,
and all the details, again, will be of those events and the Buffalo one, when we have a date set for that, will be on my website,
okay.
GeraldineBrooks.com.
Fantastic. So the book is The Secret Chord. Geraldine Brooks, thank you so much for being my guest on the show today.
It has been an absolute pleasure, Annie.